talking to you. Guess what's coming up next? You can't figure it out? Well, it's the January 13th, 2018 edition of Michael's Saturday Surprise. But don't tell anybody.
And now, our feature presentation.
I love to listen to my radio. Gee, how it thrills me when I hear it go.
Good morning, kiddies.
That's when I think of you. When shadows fall at the close of the day, I turn on the switch and it starts into play.
Greetings, group, and welcome into our first offering for MSS here in 2018, as I get used to saying 2018. It's winter, I'm depressed, so I think we'll liven things up a little bit tonight, at least comedic-wise. If you used to watch The Ed Sullivan Show or otherwise were exposed to the comedian Jackie Vernon, you know his opening line was always, "Hello, fun seekers," and we hope to do that tonight. Three programs, as usual, a little bit different in that I'm playing two consecutive programs. They aren't listed consecutively. They were separate, but they did run against each other. And without benefit of station breaks and newscasts, we're going to try to at least give you a bit of the flavor of what it was like to be sitting listening to your favorite NBC station in October of 53. In fact, October 21st of 53, as you'd hear these two programs. Two of my favorites, actually, and I've commented on them before, so I don't think I need to at this point. But Great Gildersleeve, of course, is going to be our first one. The second one is You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx. My favorite Marx brother, and the only one who really had any kind of a hope of success in radio. His program didn't run smoothly because, like Bob Hope, there was more him than there was program time, so they had to do a lot of editing for time and probably for content for the censors. This one, I think, is one of his better ones in that, I just found it more funny. Anyway, let's get back to the beginning of this whole thing. We're going back to open up with Great Gildersleeve and Leroy being the electrical whiz kid that he is.
The Kraft Foods Company, makers of Kraft Oil, present Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve is brought to you, transcribed by the Kraft Foods Company. Time's getting short. You have only a few more days to enter Kraft Oil's contest. The sensational Name the Cake contest that awards the winner a new Ford Victoria every year for 5 years. Get entry blanks at your grocer's tomorrow. It's easy to enter. And you may win a new Ford every year for 5 years. Or one of 1,850 valuable Dormeyer electric appliances. More details in a few minutes. Well, you never know what to expect when a boy empties his pockets. Sometimes it's pieces of string, marbles, tinfoil, keys that won't fit anything, and some things you can't even identify. But this afternoon, when the Great Gildersleeve's nephew Leroy emptied his, there was a roll of electric wire, a dry cell battery, and a cast-off light switch. And for the last couple of hours, he's been pretty busy.
Now I'll attach this other wire to the switch and snip it off. That should do it.
Leroy!
Yeah, Bertie?
What are you up to in your uncle's den?
What makes you think I'm up to something?
Because it's so quiet in here. And I know you ain't doing your homework because you usually have the radio going full blast. You up to something.
Bertie, I got the whole house wired. All I have to do is flip this switch.
You gonna blow it up?
Nah. I'm going to have some fun with Unc when he comes home.
Come again?
Why don't you answer the door, Bertie?
The doorbell ain't ringing.
Oh, yeah?
My land. I'll get it!
Wait a minute. I rang the doorbell sitting right here.
Boy, if you rang that doorbell sitting here down on the den floor, you got the longest arms I ever saw.
Well, heck, I could even make the telephone ring.
No fooling.
Just by flipping the switch.
Leroy, where'd you learn all that hocus pocus?
I picked it up at school.
Hello, everybody. I'm home.
Uh-oh, here's Unc. Make him answer the phone and doorbell when they ring.
Okay. I can always get another job.
Where is everybody?
Come in, Miss Gill, please.
Don't let him come in here.
Oh, you home, ain't you?
That's an astute observation, Bertie.
Thank you, sir.
Where's Leroy?
Oh, he's around and about. Up and down, here and there. Somewhere around.
Well, I'll catch him the next time around.
Yes, sir.
Can we have dinner a little early? I have a date with Miss Henshaw tonight.
The new school principal?
Yeah, little night school.
Yes, sir. Uh-oh, I gotta go check the rope.
All right, I'll get the door. It's funny. Nobody out here. I know the doorbell rang. Bertie, you heard the doorbell, didn't you?
Yes.
That's strange. Oh, well. I wonder what's in the evening paper.
You want to answer the telephone, Miss Gillespie?
Yeah, all right, Bertie. Hello? Hello? Confounded hello. Nobody there. Guess they hung up. Oh, my goodness.
Can you get it?
Yes, Bertie. Wonder if some kid rang the bell and ran. Yeah, I'll bet that was Leroy. Oop. I've got the door open and it still rings. What's wrong with these chimes? Must be a short in the wiring. I better take a look. Hey, what's this wire? Oh! Leroy! George, I have to congratulate myself when I think of how well I'm doing with Irene Henshaw. Yeah, glad the school needed a new principal. And she grades me pretty high. If I try to hold her hand tonight, I wonder if she'll give me an F on deportment. Well, at least I'm going to get an A for effort.
Hello, Throckmorton.
Hello, Irene.
Come in.
Thank you.
Well, you're right on time.
Yep, always make it a point never to be late for school. Couldn't wait to get here. Look, I have a couple of apples for the teacher.
You brought apples?
They're in my cheeks.
Oh, it must be nippy out.
Yeah. What should we do tonight, Irene?
Do you mind if we just stay here by the fire?
Do I mind?
I had a dreadful day at school. Everything seemed to go wrong.
Yeah, I'll do my best to make you forget. Let's sit here on the couch.
All right. This is much nicer than going out.
You bet. Say, you're a vision of loveliness tonight.
Thank you.
It's quite a get-up you're wearing. Low in the back and button tie up the front. Cute dress.
Oh, it's just a little print.
Well, I must say you publish it well.
Throckmorton, you're such fun to be with. You bolster my ego.
Well, we do get along great together.
You're such a comfortable man to be around.
Yeah, I'm as comfortable as an old shoe. I wonder if I should throw another log in the fire.
No, let it flicker. I love the interesting shadows it throws on the wall.
Yeah, I can see our shadows over there. Let's see if I can make a rabbit with my hands. He used to do this when I was a kid.
Well, that's very good. I'll make a companion for him.
Good.
How's that?
Quite a bunny. Let's have our rabbits touch noses.
All right.
Look, they like each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Irene.
Yes?
They say the Eskimos rub noses when they kiss.
So I've heard.
I wonder if we should forget the rabbits and play Eskimo.
Do you think it's that cold in here?
No, indeed.
gracious. Who could be at the door at this hour?
Probably a Northwest Mountie.
Excuse me, Throckmorton.
What a time for the doorbell to ring.
Evening, Miss Henshaw.
Why, Mr. Jensen.
You told me a report what I found out about them dad's busted bells at school.
Yes.
Well, I can't find out a thing.
Oh?
Well, why did he come by?
Step inside. We'll have to decide what to do.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Gildersleeve, this is our school custodian, Mr. Jensen.
Hello, Mr. Jensen.
Well, how are you, Mr. Gildersleeve? I didn't know our water commissioner was keeping company with our school principal.
Well,
pretty hard man to keep up with, where the women are concerned.
Jensen.
Why can't you fix the bells at school, Mr. Jensen?
Well, I can't seem to find out where them boys crossed the wires.
You say some boys have been monkeying with the bell system at school?
That's why it was such a difficult day. We had bells ringing at all hours.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
That Leroy.
A class would just get settled, the bells would ring, and they'd get up and leave.
Yes, sirree, we had a regular traffic jam this afternoon with all them bells ringing at once. Sounded like a fire drill.
You haven't any idea what boy did it?
No, but I'd be tempted to expel the one who did.
I'd warm his britches, that's what.
Well, maybe he didn't realize what he was doing.
Who?
Well, whoever did it.
I know this. I can't go through another day like today.
No, Irene.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this. First thing in the morning, I'm going to call a special assembly, and somebody is going to account to me.
Yeah, she means it.
I'll point out how everybody in school is being inconvenienced, and if the boy has any honor at all, he'll step forward and take his medicine.
Well, I'm sure Leroy... Oh.
Leroy?
Leroy, you're any boy. Whoever did it. We'll realize his mistake by tomorrow morning.
Any boy who would do a thing like this must be a headache to his parents.
Well, I'd better say goodnight.
Yeah, I better go home, too. I think I have a headache. Yeah, there's still a light in Leroy's room. Yeah, I'll go up and read the riot act to that boy. Oop! Bells again. He's got everything wired. That young man's going to be in for a shock himself. I never saw Irene so upset. That's another thing. He broke up my date. Leroy.
Young?
Front and center.
What?
Out of bed, young man. On your feet and give me an accounting.
Oh, you mean our doorbell. I forgot to disconnect my wires.
Leroy, they're not the only wires you've been tampering with.
What are you talking about, Unc?
Yeah, I know all about what you did to the school bells.
Oh, that? Well, I had nothing to do with it. But boy, you should have seen Miss Henshaw. Was she in a tizzy? And you should have seen Mr. Jensen.
I've seen Mr. Jensen.
Yeah? Did he get the bells fixed?
They're waiting for you to tell them where you crossed the wires. Now come clean.
I am clean. I don't have anything to tell them.
Oh, Leroy, the finger's pointing at you.
Uncle, I didn't do it, honest.
Well, then how do you happen to know so much about rigging bells?
Oh, heck, I just picked it up.
Well, you picked up a hot potato. Tomorrow morning, you're going to march up to Miss Henshaw and confess.
I am not.
Leroy, careful.
Why should I confess?
Because it builds character. Now go to bed and think it over.
But I'm innocent.
And stop insisting you're innocent when I keep telling you you're guilty.
What a character.
Quiet around school today. Irene must have laid down the law. That Leroy. Couldn't get a thing out of him. So the only honest thing for me to do is go to Irene myself and tell her I know he's implicated. Maybe she'll go a little easy on the boy. He isn't malicious.
Come in.
Hello, Irene.
Hello, Throckmorton. Mr. Gildersleeve.
Irene. Oh, yes, we are in school, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
The reason I came, Miss Henshaw, is to talk about the bells.
Oh, they became such a problem, we disconnected them all. We're going by watches until we find the source of the trouble.
Well, I know the source of the trouble.
You do?
This is very embarrassing and painful to me. But the boy who did it is afraid to confess himself, so I'm doing it for him.
Who are you talking about, Throckmorton?
Well, My nephew, Leroy.
Leroy? Is he smart enough to rig the wires? I didn't know he was scientifically inclined.
Yeah, now don't be too hard on him. It may be that he's just gotten in with the wrong crowd here in the school.
I didn't know we had a wrong crowd in our school.
Well, the principal doesn't always know what's going on.
Oh?
Boy can pick up plenty of mischief in a school like this and bring the ideas right home.
Uh-huh. Mr. Gildersleeve, it has been my experience that if a boy has received the proper training at home, he isn't likely to get into much mischief at school.
No, Irene, let's not criticize the way I bring up Leroy.
Well, let's not criticize the way I run this school.
But I feel I know you well enough to tell you the boy got his wires crossed here in your school.
Well, I think I know you well enough to tell you the boy's uncle is a little haywire.
No, Irene.
I'm very busy. Good day.
Well, if that's the way you want it, good day. Confound it. Only trying to get Leroy straightened out. Lend a helping hand and she steps on it. Say, there's Jensen still working on the wires. You found out where the trouble is, Jensen?
Not yet, Commissioner.
Well, perhaps I should help. I feel a little responsible for this.
Did you do the tinkering?
No, Jensen. Here, let me have your pliers. I see a wire way back there that looks like it's dangling.
Oh, must have missed that one. Here.
It goes right here, I guess.
Oh, Dad, bust it now. The kids will change classes again. Yeah, here comes Miss Henshaw breathing fire.
Yeah, I'm getting out of here. She's already scorched me.
The Great Gildersleeve will be back in just a minute. Listen carefully if you'd like a new Ford Victoria every year for 5 years. Tonight's the last time we're broadcasting details of how to enter Kraft Oil's sensational Name the Cake contest. Tomorrow, get a green-capped bottle of Kraft Oil at your grocer's. You'll find the recipe for the cake that needs a name printed inside the label. And also be sure to get the official entry blank that gives easy contest rules. Just bake the cake, enjoy it, and decide on a name that describes it. The name you send to Kraft Oil may win a brand new Ford every year for 5 years. You get a deluxe Ford Victoria the first year and then trade it in without further cost to you on the newest model every year for the next 4 years. Additional prizes include Dormeyer electric broiler rotisseries, Dormeyer electric blankets, Dormeyer power mixers, Dormeyer portable mixers, and Dormeyer Frywells. Altogether, 1,851 prizes. You'll find the complete list on the entry blanks at your grocer's, and also news about a special bonus prize. But hurry! Your Name the Cake contest entry must be mailed to Kraft Oil within 10 days. Get your entry off right away. You may be the winner of a new Ford Victoria every year for 5 years, or one of the valuable Dormeyer electric appliances. Well, the Great Gildersleeve has plenty of circumstantial evidence, but he hasn't been able to get a confession that his nephew, Leroy, rigged the school bells. Now the water commissioner feels that the boy's character development is at the crossroads.
Bertie, you know I never get tough with Leroy because of a little prank. But when he won't make a clean breast of it, that's another matter.
Yes, sir, but did anybody see him do it?
Well?
Teacher didn't see him do it.
No, but...
The principal didn't see him do it.
True, but...
Did you see him do it?
Of course not. But we know he rigged the bells here at home.
That I saw him do.
Yeah, you see? And it happened the same day. What do you say to that?
I'd say he's just like his uncle.
What?
Mr. Gillespie, when you was in college, who put the cow in the dean's office?
Well, that was an amusing prank.
Yes, sir. But did the dean think so?
I don't want Leroy doing everything I did. But when he does get out of line, by George, I want him to admit it. And here he comes. Maybe he'll take this more seriously if I give him the cold shoulder. And I'll let him know I'm so shocked I don't want to have anything to do with him.
Hi, Unc.
Hello?
They got the bells fixed at school.
Well, I hope you enjoyed your fun.
All the kids did.
I suppose the culprit never admitted it.
Nuh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder who did it.
Ha!
I did not. Heck, let's forget it. I can go to a movie tonight. That'd be a swell way to forget it.
I don't think I care to attend a movie with you, Leroy.
Even if I pay my own way?
Sorry?
What's the matter with you, Unc?
Something's happened between us, my boy. The old spark is gone. I like young men of character.
I'm loaded with it. I just don't flaunt it.
Yes.
Well, if you don't want to go to a movie with me, let's eat and I'll go with Piggy.
I don't think I even care to have dinner with you.
You don't?
I'll eat now and you can eat later.
Why don't I eat now and you eat later?
What?
Why should you have first crack at it?
What a callous boy. Hello, Peavy.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you?
No, I don't want anything. Just wanted to get out of the house and away from Leroy.
The boy got the mumps or something?
No, I'm purposely ignoring him because he wired those school bells and won't admit it.
You don't say.
I'm giving him something to think about. What are you doing, Petey?
I'm just putting these cosmetics on the shelves. No woman uses a lot of camouflage these days, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yeah, I guess so.
They may not put much on their backs, but they sure put a lot on their faces. I wonder what a woman really looks like.
You should know, Peavy. You're married.
Yeah, I think I'll take some of this stuff home to Mrs. Peavy. Mr. Gildersleeve, I have a new line of perfume here. Anytime you need a gift for the new school principal.
Yeah, we aren't getting along right now.
You don't say.
That's Leroy's fault, too. I tried to explain the situation to her, and we had a row.
Well, if you and Miss Henshaw had a row, you might want to skedaddle out the back way.
Do I?
Here she comes.
Who?
Hello, Mr. Peavy.
Good evening, Miss Henshaw.
Throckmorton, I'm so glad to see you.
You are?
We found out who caused all the bell ringing in school.
Leroy's fingerprints?
No. Leroy had nothing to do with it.
He didn't?
Some of the older boys were indulging in a pre-Halloween prank.
They were? Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah, explains why Leroy wouldn't admit he did it, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, he'd rigged all the bells at home except the burglar alarm.
I'm afraid you owe Leroy an apology, Throckmorton.
Yeah, I'll say I do. I jumped to conclusions. I assumed too much.
Yes, you did.
I really wronged the boy. I was short-sighted, unfair, suspicious.
Stupid.
All right, Peavy.
I'm just helping you out.
I owe you an apology, too, Throckmorton, getting upset with you. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sorry for what I said, too. Maybe we should go somewhere and be sorry together. How about tomorrow evening?
Tomorrow evening?
If you want some place to go and have a Sunday, I'd be glad to whip up a masterpiece to top off your evening.
Phoebe, when I entertain a girl, a Sunday would hardly be the highlight of the evening.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that.
Mr. Gildersleeve's going to be mighty sorry he accused you, Leroy.
Yeah. I can't wait for Unc to come home. What a break for me.
Boy, what are you up to now?
Well, they say you should pay for your mistakes. And Unc's going to pay.
Leroy!
Uh-oh, I'm going to leave the field to you.
Leroy? Oh, there you are, my boy.
Hello.
They found out who fouled up the bells at school.
Yeah.
Leroy, I'm sorry. I thought it was you. Well, my boy, suppose we go to that movie you were talking about.
I don't think I want to attend a movie with you.
Oh, come on. We'll eat dinner and be off for an evening together.
I don't think I care to have dinner with you.
But, Leroy...
Sorry, Unc, but something has happened between us. Like you said, the spark is gone.
Now, Leroy, I made a mistake.
You sure did.
But I want to make it up to you.
It's too late, Unc. You've stifled my genius.
What?
Just when it was starting to burn.
What genius?
My electrical genius. I might have been another Thomas Edison or an Alexander Graham Bell. That is, if I had better equipment.
Better equipment?
There's a kit down at Hogan Brothers with switches, wire, batteries, transformers. I could take that and invent anything.
Oh?
But I guess if you ever caught me doing something practical, like specializing in electricity, I'd get the treatment again.
My boy, I want you to have that outfit.
No.
Leroy, please. I owe it to you. Say you'll accept it.
Well, okay, Unc, if it'll make you happy.
You don't mind staying out a little later tonight, do you, Irene?
Not at all, Throckmorton. It's been fun.
Yeah, I thought it'd be nice to stop by the house and have some Bertie's cake and hot chocolate. You come in.
That you, Miss Gildersleeve?
It's us, Bertie.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Bertie has a nice fire going.
Yes. Let's go over and sit down.
Here comes the hot chocolate and the cake.
Well, such service.
Bertie's a jewel.
Evening, Miss Henshaw.
Hello, Bertie.
Now, I'll put the tray right down here by you two and leave you to shift for yourself.
All right, Bertie. We'll manage. Thank you. Good night.
Yes, sir. How do you like the look of that cake, Miss Henshaw?
Oh, it's beautiful, Bertie. I've been hearing a lot about your cake.
Yes, ma'am?
Yeah, Bertie's quite a cook. Good night, Bertie.
Good night, Miss Gildersleeve. That recipe for this cake won the first prize at the county fair, Miss Henshaw.
Really?
Do you cook, Miss Henshaw?
Oh, my goodness.
Not very much, I'm afraid.
I know you're the school principal, but principals ought to know how to cook. They get mad, too.
Yes, well, I'm afraid my interest lies more in the sciences. Physics, astronomy.
Well, you and Mr. Gildersleeve could study astronomy together. He likes the moon, too.
Ready.
Of course, the moon's fine when you're courting, but after you're mad, there's nothing like knowing how to make a hot biscuit.
I'll remember that.
Bertie.
I'm going. Good night.
Good night, Bertie.
At last. Why, George, we have quite a time trying to be alone together.
Yes. The last time, it was the school custodian, wasn't it?
Yeah, about those school bells. I made it up to Leroy, though. Got him the finest electrical outfit Hogan Brothers had.
Good.
Yeah, I got him on the right track. He's doing constructive things with it. He even fixed this lamp.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. A very complicated three-way switch. See, it's on bright now.
It is a little bright, isn't it?
Yeah. But look. Now it's dim.
Ah, that is better.
I can even make it dimmer. Oh, it's wired to the burglar alarm! Leroy!
The Great Gildersleeve will be with us again in just 30 seconds. Just a last reminder to get your entry blank for Kraft Oil's sensational Name the Cake contest at your grocer's tomorrow. It's the easiest contest in the world to enter. Just send in a name for the wonderful new cake made with lighter-bodied Kraft Oil. First prize is a new Ford Victoria every year for 5 years. Other prizes include 1,850 Dormeyer electric appliances. Just name the cake that's made with Kraft Oil. Get your entry blank tomorrow, and good luck.
I put the electric kit right there in the car, Unc, like you said.
Yeah, all right, Leroy. I'm sorry it has to be this way, but I'm returning it to Hogan Brothers.
I'm sorry about the burglar alarm last night, but can I keep the kid if I...
Leroy, I don't want to discuss it. I'm late for a meeting with the mayor. Oh, for just when I'm in a hurry.
I might be able to fix it, Unc.
You?
Well, I've been studying electricity, you know. Maybe it's the wires.
Leroy, put down the hood.
Yeah, this could be the trouble. Oh, hand me the kit, Unc.
Well, better than paying a mechanic, I guess. Unless he ruins the motor.
Yeah, that might do it. Now step on the starter.
Well, say, it started.
Yeah, let me close the hood. And here's the kit you want to return.
Leroy, maybe you'd better keep it.
Yeah?
The car might be hard to start again some morning.
Gosh, thanks, huh?
Goodbye, my boy.
It's a good thing I pulled that wire loose. I really would have lost this kit.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Willard Waterman and is an NBC Radio Network production. The show is written by John Elliott and Andy White and is transcribed. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Jess Kirkpatrick, Lillian Randolph, Kathy Lewis, and Dick LeGrand. Musical compositions by Jack Meekin. This is John Heaston saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous line of Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next week and every week for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
What goes into your favorite sandwich? Maybe it's roast beef or savory baked ham. Whatever your favorite, the perfect meat sandwich needs the perfect mustard. Kraft prepared mustard. For when you add a little mustard, you add a lot of tang. You can take your choice of two kinds of Kraft mustard. Mild Kraft mustard is smooth and delicately spiced. Or if you like your mustard with extra pep, try Kraft mustard with snappy horseradish added. Keep them both on hand and keep everyone in the family happy. Next time, get Kraft prepared mustard. Play You Bet Your Life with Groucho next on the NBC Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the secret word tonight is name, N-A-M-E.
Really?
You bet your life! It's Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life, a comedy quiz series produced and transcribed from Hollywood and brought to you by the more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers. The dealers who now have on display the all-new 1954 Plymouth, your best buy in the low-priced field, and who, on November 5th, will have on display the astonishing and beautiful new DeSoto for 1954. And now, here he is, the one, the only...
Are you sure you want him? Oh, that's me! Well, here I am again with 1,500 smackolas for one of our couples.
Well, Groucho, I saw an interesting article in the newspaper about a married couple, and I told them to come and see us next time they were in Hollywood, and maybe they'd get on the show. And they did, and here they are, Mr. and Mrs. John Peter Fedorovich. Would you come in, please, and meet Groucho Marx?
Well, how do you do? Welcome, folks, for the DeSoto Plymouth dealers. Say the secret word, and you'll take home an extra 100 smackolas. The secret word is a very common word, and it's something you always have with you, I presume. Mr. and Mrs. John Peter Fedorovich, huh?
That's right.
Where are you from, Mr. Fedorovich?
I was born in Rotten, Poland. I've been here over 40 years.
You were born in Rotten, Poland?
Rotten, Poland.
What kind of a place is Rotten, Poland?
I don't know. A long time since I've been there.
How old were you when you fled from there?
60.
You were 60 when you left there? You are 60? Gee, you don't look it. What sort of work do you do?
I'm a roofer.
Well, top of the morning to you. What does a roofer do?
Fixes the roofs.
Well, I didn't think you raised caterpillars, but I... what do you do specifically, then?
Well, depends on the type of roof.
Uh-huh. Well, let's see. You're Mrs. Fedorovich, huh?
That's right.
Fedorovich. Is that the word? How do you pronounce it?
Fedorovich.
Fedorovich, huh?
That's right.
Well, that's a whole lot better, huh? What is your... Helen?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do you mind if I call you Helen?
That's all right.
What part of Poland are you from, Helen?
I'm not from Poland. I was born in the United States. I was born in Hobart, Oklahoma.
Well, Helen, you're pretty short for a tall girl. How tall are you?
Well, I'm just a little over 5 feet tall, and I weigh 155 pounds.
Oh, you're kind of 5x5, huh? Well, you carry it well. How much do you weigh, John?
I weigh 125.
Did she weigh more than you when you got married?
She weighed about 100 pounds more when I married her.
I beg your pardon?
She weighed about 100 pounds more when I married her.
She weighed 100 pounds more than she does now when you married her?
Then I did.
Then you did. You weigh 125, she weighed 225? Helen, after you were married, did you try to lose a little excess baggage?
Yes, I did, and John thought it'd be a good idea if we take a walk.
Did he suggest it, that you lose some weight?
He suggested that we walk.
Is that true, John?
That's right.
Well, how did you do this? Did you lie down on the floor and let him walk all over you?
No. We took a walk to Arizona.
You took a walk to Arizona? Uh-huh. How far did you walk on this Arizona stroll?
About 500 miles.
Well, Helen, did this walking trip to Arizona have any effect on you?
I lost 50 pounds.
Did this make you happy, John?
No, but she gained 60 later on.
Well, John, did you try any other reducing measures, like walking to Shreveport?
No, we didn't walk to Shreveport. We went to... We walked to Spokane, Washington.
You walked to Spokane?
That's right.
Well, how far is that as the crow flies?
We didn't fly, we walked about 5 miles.
He keeps stopping me. I guess that's because he was a roofer. How did you make out on the Spokane trip, Helen? Did you lose any blubber, any weight?
I lost about 85 pounds.
Okay, I'm ready for the next question. John, how much did she gain?
Well, she gained 115 pounds.
This could be serious.
I was 265.
So where'd you go this time, Alaska?
No, we went down to Morongo, Imperial Valley, Mexico, and San Diego. Get to Los Angeles. She didn't lose enough. She went to take a walk down to Fresno or to the coast.
We walked all together about 2,000 miles in 4 months.
And you say, how much do you weigh now?
155.
Oh, well, are you satisfied with her?
Oh, yeah. Weight, sure, huh? I can lift her now before I couldn't buzz her.
You did this whole thing just so you could lift her?
That's right. And so she feel better and look like something.
Oh. Well, I think she looks pretty cute.
Now she does. Yeah, I see her before.
Well, the next time she puts on 100 pounds, bring her around, will you? Well, this has been a pretty heavy conversation we've had here, but you can lighten your load by winning a lot of money, and I hope you do. All you got to do is run your $20 or more than our other couples, and you get a chance at the big question. These are all French words and expressions that we have adopted for cooking and serving foods. Here's your first question. How much of the 20 will you bet?
20.
You don't consult this with Skinny here at all.
Go ahead. That's the answer.
What about it, Slats? Are you in a...
Let her go ahead and do what she wants.
All right, you're going to bet $20. What is the French word that means a small cup of coffee taken at the close of a meal?
Demitasse.
Right.
Well, you're on your way. You have $40.
All right, how much of the 40 are you going to bet in your second question?
All of it.
You ignore him completely. What are the small cubes of toasted bread served with soup called?
Croutons.
That's right, croutons.
You now have $80.
Did you carry a menu on this trip you took to Phoenix, Seattle?
No, no.
Here's your third question. You have $80. How much are you going to bet?
All of it.
Slices of bone meat or fish are called what?
Filet.
Filet is right.
You now have $160.
I always thought filet was in Pennsylvania. Now, here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much will you bet?
All of it.
All of it, huh? Whites of eggs whipped to a standing froth with sugar is called what?
Meringue.
Meringue is right.
And you wind up with $320.
Well, thanks and good luck to the DeSoto Plymouth dealer. Fenneman, everybody's talking big, bright, and beautiful these days. Let's listen in.
It's big, the 54 Plymouth. It's bright, the 54 Plymouth. Big, bright, beautiful too. The 54 Plymouth is the car for you.
Yes, the new 54 Plymouth. Big, bright, and beautiful is the car for you. The car that's got everybody talking about its new beauty.
I've never seen such luxurious fabrics and appointments before in any low-priced car. So many smart new ideas in detail and color combinations. Plymouth's high-style interiors certainly live up to their name.
Power steering's available this year. Plymouth's full-time power steering does 80% of the work for you, getting in and out of tight parking places, and always lets you keep the feel of the road for good, steady handling.
And there are three great drives available, including Plymouth High Drive that gets you where you're going without shifting.
See this great new beauty for yourself. Visit a DeSoto Plymouth dealer for all the exciting details on the beautiful new 54 Plymouth.
Big, bright, beautiful too. The 54 Plymouth is the car for you.
All right, George, who's next?
Well, we invited some plumbers to the show tonight, Groucho. And just before we went on the air, our studio audience selected Mr. Michael Moran. His partner is Miss Regula Thorston. So, folks, would you please come in and meet Groucho Marx?
Welcome, welcome to You Bet Your Life. Say the secret word. Say, plumbers always get applause here. Say the secret word and divide $100. It's a common word, something you always have with you. Mr. Michael Moran. That's you?
Yes, sir, that's
you. Have a sister named Lemon?
No, sir. Not that I know of.
Oh, I used to know a Lemon Moran. She lived in the Automat in New York. Where are you from, Mike?
I was born in Huntington, Oregon, but raised in Los Angeles.
Raised in Los Angeles. Are you married?
Yes, sir.
How old are you?
31.
Regula Thorson, that's you?
That's right.
That's an interesting name, Regula. Where'd you get it?
I was named after the city saint in Zurich, Switzerland.
You said name. That's the secret word. So you get 50 smackers.
Well,
and the
you,
plunger
Groucho.
Over here gets $50.
Thank you, Groucho.
Thank you, Groucho.
Now, what were you saying about you were named after a plumber named Lemma Moran at the Automat in New York?
Groucho, you got it all wrong. I was named after a city saint.
A city saint?
Yeah, that's right, in Zurich, Switzerland.
You come from Switzerland?
I surely do. I did, at least.
Uh-huh. How long ago?
Oh, well, now, Groucho, you wouldn't ask me embarrassing questions.
Yes, I would. That's the way I make a living, eh? Now, how did you get the name? You were named after a city saint?
That's right.
How long ago was this?
Oh, many years ago.
How long ago?
In this century.
In this century. At the turn of the century?
A little later.
Oh. Why did you come to this country, Regula?
Oh.
Just to outwit me?
No.
You succeeded in so far.
No. I trained as a nurse in the American hospital in Paris. And my superintendent of nurses thought that I would make a much better career in the States, and that's why I came.
Have you had any exciting experiences as a nurse in this country?
I certainly have. Well, one of them was taking care of you. You once were my patient.
I knew that pastor mine would catch up with me. Well, what happened? Did I emerge alive?
You certainly did.
I did, huh?
Yes. You used to come to this doctor's office quite regularly, and after a few visits, one time, you impersonated your own brother. And you did it so convincingly that you had me completely sold. So I almost got fired. But that isn't all. 2 weeks later...
I hope not.
2 weeks later, you sent your brother into the doctor's office, and you had your brother impersonate you. And to make matters even more complicated, you know what the doctor's name was?
No.
Dr. Marx.
Really?
And that isn't Rudolph all. Marx? Rudolph Marx. Oh, and yes, that isn't all.
He's a nice guy, Rudolph.
Isn't he, though?
I want to say, after you left that doctor's office, I impersonated Rudolph Marx. I didn't say that.
But that isn't all,
it was on Wednesday. It was his day off, and they don't come in on Wednesday. You know, doctors don't work on Wednesday at all. Wednesday, Friday afternoon, Saturday, and Sunday. If you want to die, you got to do it Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. You know, speaking of hospitals, it reminds me of the story about Mark Connelly. He wrote, he's a famous playwright. He wrote Green Pastures and many other plays. Anyway, he had gone to Cedars of Lebanon to visit a friend there who had had a tonsillectomy. And he got in the elevator there at Cedars. And the elevator operator says, what floor? And he said, men's tonsils, please. That's a true story, isn't it? Are you still at that same hospital regular?
No, I'm not. I've quit the nursing profession.
They always do that after they get me. Mike, who do you work for?
Sicking Plumbing.
Is it a big outfit?
One of the largest in town, Groucho. We have about 40 plumbers on tap.
40 plumbers on tap. Hey, that's pretty good, isn't it? You know any roofing jokes?
No, sir. I don't.
Is that one of the little jokes you plumbers use in the trade?
Well, you might call it that.
Mm-hmm. And this, for this you charge $5.50 an hour?
Not for the jokes.
Have you ever had any unusual experiences as a plumber, like fixing a leaky faucet in less than 8 hours?
Yes. I was fixing garbage disposal one time when I had to take the garbage disposal out of the sink to repair it. And in order,
is that why they call it the sinking brothers?
No. And in order to remount it, I had to lay on my back under the sink and put the spud through the hole in the sink, which is just actually like a big donut. So I'm laying there tightening the screws up, looking right up through the sink, and this housewife comes walking over me and turns the water on. Right in my face. And she says, I didn't think it would run on you. I said, well, you think it's going to run up?
Well, at least you got a bath out of it, didn't you? You're lucky she didn't drop any garbage down there. Well, it's been very interesting talking to you two. I haven't learned anything, but it's been interesting. And the next time you come to my house, charge me $4 an hour, will you? Well, now you're gonna work in the quiz. Now, let's see how you make out. We'll see how smart you really are. All you got to do is run your $20 in the more than our other couples, and you'll get a chance at the big money later.
In the race for the $1,500, the first couple won $320. And the secret word is name.
Let's see how high I can bid you $20. You selected instruments in common use as your category. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Most of us have seen or heard of these instruments. These are not plumber's tools, you know.
No.
Now, let's see if you can identify them. You have $20. How much are you going to bet?
I think you should bet $19.
Talk real loud now.
$19.98.
Okay.
Now, we didn't hear a word you said.
Right.
$19.98.
1998.
Sounds like Macy's basement.
Yes, it does. Have you ever thought of quitting plumbing and going into show business?
No, sir.
Everybody's in show business now. You can get yourself a panel show in no time. What is the instrument used by doctors to determine the heartbeat?
The stethoscope.
That's right. That's a stethoscope.
You have $39.98 now.
What does that remind you of? Gimbal?
Can't think of anything. I'm concentrating right now.
What is the... How much are you betting?
It's all but 2 cents. So it'd be $39.86.
$96. What is the surveying instrument called that is used to measure angles? It is mounted on a tripod. What is this surveying instrument called that is used to measure angles? It is mounted on a tripod.
I would say datum. It isn't correct.
Yeah.
Datum is the only thing I can think of it. Datum.
One answer? Is that what you decide on?
Yes, sir.
You?
I know it, too, but I can't think of it.
Transit.
Transit.
Oh, that's a shame.
Just used it the other day.
You now have 2 cents.
Wow.
We're rich.
How much are the 2 cents you going to bet?
Go for broke.
Go for broke. What is the instrument used for marking exact time in music?
Just a moment. I know it as well as...
Afford.
It's metronome.
A metronome.
Well, I've
lost. Now you have nothing.
All gone.
Nothing. All gone.
Now I give you one more question. You get this right and you split $25. A popular figure of early American history was Martha Washington. What was her husband's name?
George Washington.
Absolutely right, George Washington.
Thank you,
thanks and good luck to the DeSoto Plymouth dealer.
And now, Groucho, our next contestant is N.C. Byer, a waiter.
Mr. N.C. Byer, a waiter, eh? What's the N.C. stand for?
It stands for New Car, Groucho.
Your name is New Car Byer? Well, you've certainly come to the right show. Where are you a waiter?
Oh, I can wait anywhere, Groucho. I thought I'd wait right here in this studio.
It's not too personal. What are you waiting for?
For November 5th, Groucho. All of us new car buyers are waiting for November 5th, because that's the day the wonderful new DeSoto goes on display for the very first time.
Yes, I know.
They say that this outstanding new DeSoto is the most wonderful car ever built, with so many new engineering features that you'll have to drive it to believe it, and with an outstanding new beauty and style that will put it years ahead of all the others.
Yes, I know.
So that's what I'm waiting for, November 5th, the day this magnificent new DeSoto for 1954 makes its very first appearance.
You see, folks, you got to be careful. You never know when we're going to bring in a commercial to remind you that November 5th is the big day. Your first chance to see the stunning DeSoto for 1954. Okay, George, who's next?
Well, Groucho, we have a young married couple for you now, Mr. and Mrs. Edward Shefflin. So, folks, would you come in, please, and meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome, youngsters, for the DeSoto Plymouth dealer. Say the secret word, and you'll take home an extra $100. It's a common word. Something you always have with you. Mr. What are you calling him? Fenneman, what are you calling Mr. for? This man's a general. Are you a general?
No, Groucho. I'm a master sergeant in the Air Force.
Oh. How old are you, Sergeant? 33, huh? Well, you're a fine-looking lad. Now, Mrs. Shefflin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to call you Mrs. Shefflin. That's, too dignified for me.
What, can you call me Margaret?
Well, I could try. Margaret, I notice you're holding pretty tight to your husband there. Do you feel all right?
Oh, I'm feeling fine, thank you.
Oh.
But I sometimes hold on to him this way when we're walking around because my left leg is paralyzed. I had polio in 1942.
Oh, is that so? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to hear that.
Would
you like to sit down?
Oh, no, thanks. I'd really rather stand.
You would?
Yeah. I sit down watching one thing another all day.
Oh. Uh-huh. I'd rather sit down myself. I didn't know how you felt. Well, you sure you won't be too tired, huh?
No, I'll be fine.
All right. Does your polio seem to be getting better as time goes by?
Well, it's a gradual process. Yeah. But it's been getting better, and strangely enough, having a baby seems to help.
How old is your baby?
Well, we have four little girls, but the youngest one is 5 weeks.
You say these four children helped your health, eh?
Well, it seems to have, anyway.
That's odd. I've been a father 3 times, and look at me, eh? Next time, I think I'll try being a mother.
That'll be fine.
Who takes care of the four kids, Margaret? Do you have help?
No, I take care of them in the house. Oh, I don't feel I have a real handicap, because I can play ping pong and swim and do lots of things.
Well, you certainly have a lot of courage, Margaret.
Well,
next time I get a little ache or pain, I don't think I'll complain quite so much.
Maybe the little ones are bad, too.
I had a headache the other day, and I sent for an ambulance. Let's find out some more about you two. For example, what was there about Margaret that prompted you to pop the question?
Well, I thought she was very nice looking, and she was a good conversationalist, pleasant, courteous, and above all, she was very smart.
You mean by trapping you, she was smart?
Well, she can read a book in, say, less than an hour, and she can tell you everything that she's read.
Well, can't she cook?
She can do anything.
You're pretty proud of her, aren't you, huh?
Oh, that I am.
And I certainly don't blame you, Sergeant. You think she'll win a lot of money for you here tonight?
Oh, it's just as good as money in a bank.
Why? What makes you think she's going to walk away with the loot here tonight?
Well, she used to be a quiz kid for about 3 years.
A quiz kid? Jumping butterballs were wiped out. Is this true, Margaret? Are you really a former quiz kid?
Yeah, I was a quiz kid from...
Kelly?
Joe Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Joe Kelly, uh-huh. Yeah.
And he's still on.
Is that so? Uh-huh.
I've gotten too old. See, when you're 16, they figure you're not a kid anymore.
Yeah.
So I was on from 42 to 44.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, Ed, doesn't it sometimes annoy you that your wife knows all the answers?
Well, Groucho, it sometimes scares me.
Now, don't worry about her knowing the answers, old boy. The time to get scared is when she starts asking the questions. Well, obviously, you're a happily married couple, and I'm sure everyone is anxious to see you slaughter me in the quiz. So let's see what you can do. You have to run your $20 no more than our other couples, and you'll get a chance at the big money.
In the race for the $1,500, Mr. and Mrs. Fedorowicz are leading with $320.
You selected what's the number? This is a test of your powers of observation. Let's see if you can correctly identify the amount or number. Here's your first question. How much will you bet?
20.
All of it? Sure.
20.
All of it?
All of it.
All of it.
How many strings on a standard violin?
4.
4 is right.
You now have $40.
You have $40. Now, how much are you going to bet on this one?
$50.
I wish we'd taken it.
On a standard telephone dial, how many holes are there?
10.
1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay,
you tell me.
10.
10 is correct.
Okay. You now have $80.
She's the quiz kid, but I know she's slipping you the hard ones here. Huh? Here's your third question. How much of the 80 are you going to bet?
80.
We'll bet the 80.
How many rows of keys are there on a standard typewriter?
4.
4 is right.
You now have $160.
Here's your last chance to beat the other couples. You have $160. How much are you going to risk?
All of it.
We'll try it all.
All of it.
How many cigarettes are there in a standard pack?
20.
20 is right, huh?
And you wind up with $320.
Thanks and good luck from the DeSoto Plymouth dealers.
Thank you.
And that means that the first couple, Mr. and Mrs. Fedorowicz, and Sergeant Shefflin and his wife, both with $320, have tied for the chance at the big $1,500 question. Groucho, do you realize it will be here November 5th?
I didn't even know it had been away. What are you talking about?
Well, the day is Thursday, November 5th.
Certainly, and that's the day the magnificent 1954 DeSoto goes on display for the very first time.
That's right. Thursday, November 5th is D-Day. D for the stunning new DeSoto for 1954.
I know it all the time.
Well, then why did you ask me what I was talking about?
Well, for some reason, I thought you were thinking about a gorgeous blonde.
Well, why should I be thinking about a gorgeous blonde when I can remind the folks that November 5th is their first chance to see the dramatic new DeSoto for 1954?
Fenneman, I shall treat that question with the contempt it so richly deserves. Folks, go to your nearest DeSoto Plymouth dealers on November 5th and see the wonderful new DeSoto for 1954. And if you run across that blonde, tell her Groucho sent you.
Well, Groucho, here are the two couples tied for the chance at the big question. Mr. and Mrs. John Peter Fedorowicz, Mr. and Mrs. Edward Shefflin. Each couple will decide on a single answer and write it down on a little piece of paper we've given them. If both couples get it right, they'll split the money between them. We all set? 15
Already?
Seconds.
Yes, okay. One of the colorful figures of the gay 90s was a former newsboy who on July 23rd, 1886, allegedly jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge and survived. For $1,500, what was his name? nothing? You wouldn't even write anything?
No, I didn't remember.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, Mr. Fedorovich, huh? Yeah. The gentleman over here is right, it's Steve Brody.
Oh, sure. And you win
Well, I'm sorry you didn't all win, but that's the way it goes.
Thank you.
How much did they win in the quiz, George?
Well, they all won $320 in the quiz, and
won $1,820. Congratulations. From the north of 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers from coast to coast, you bet your life.
Be sure to tune in again next Wednesday night at the same time for the Groucho Marx Show, when the big question will be worth $1,000. And don't forget Groucho's television show, also brought to you by the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America. Remember that the dealers who sell the remarkable new Plymouth, engineered and built to be your best buy in the low-priced field, will have the magnificent new 1954 DeSoto on display November 5th. DeSoto, Plymouth. Two great new cars, both products of the Chrysler Corporation.
And when you drive in, tell them Groucho sent you. Good night, folks, and remember, just be sure to see the distinguished new DeSoto.
Friends, tonight your DeSoto Plymouth dealers from coast to coast salute the National Safety Congress, which is celebrating its 41st anniversary. DeSoto is proud of the part it has played in making America highway safety conscious. Remember, the life you save may be your own. You Bet Your Life, transcribed from Hollywood, is produced by John Goodell, directed by Robert Dwan and Bernie Smith, music by Jerry Fielding. This is George Fenneman signing off for the more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers from coast to coast. You Bet Your Life is heard by our armed forces throughout the world.
Now our final episode for tonight, and I'm going to have you remember last year. Last year's last offering for little things in life introduced a couple that dropped in for a few minutes on their way by and stayed for the night. We continue this year. They haven't left yet. In fact, in this one, Peg and Bob are trying to say goodbye to them. And for once, I think this time Peg messes things up.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Turn it off. Hurry up for it. Wait, Doug.
Three thirty. Why did you set the alarm for 3:30?
Because they said they wanted to get an early start. Bill said he wants to leave by 4:30.
They said, in fact, they insisted that we not get up.
Well, we can't do that now.
They made us promise we wouldn't get up.
You know we can't do that, and I'm not going to lie in bed and let my house guests tiptoe out and just drive off.
They insisted on it. Phyllis was adamant. She said she did not want you getting up and getting breakfast for them at this hour.
You can stay in bed. I'm getting up.
No, I'll get up. I don't understand women.
Well, you don't understand what? I think I'll just put on my house coat, though.
They just dropped in last night to say hello, but you had to insist they stay for dinner. Then you insisted they spend the night.
Well, honey, what is hard to understand about that? It wouldn't have seemed very hospitable if I hadn't said something. Is that feminine to be gracious?
No. I guess you had to. And where's my bathroom?
Honey, you've got to get dressed.
Why?
Because you've got to drive to that all-night market and get prune juice and wheat germ and yogurt. That's what Bill has to have for breakfast. Phyllis told us all about his gallbladder and his cholesterol problems. Not supposed to have any salt, any fat, you know.
Yeah, okay. I'll get dressed.
You zoom to the market and I'll get back as fast as you can. I'll set the breakfast table in the dining room. I think that'll be nice. He can have oatmeal, so I'll make that without any salt.
Ugh.
Well, there are guests. Oh, he also has to have brown sugar on that, the kind of brown sugar that isn't something or other. Now,
what does that mean?
I don't know. I think it's not refined. Unrefined. I guess that's the word. Ask the man at the market.
Boy, we certainly get some Lulus for house guests, huh? I have to laugh at you the way you kept saying, oh, no, it's no trouble indeed. No.
Well, what else could I say? And quit grumbling, honey. They're your friends.
They're not my friends.
Well, we met them at one of your business conventions. You better skip your shower this morning. Just get dressed, honey.
Could I take time to brush my teeth?
Yes, dear.
Don't you wonder sometimes about people?
Such as. Where's my hairbrush?
I mean, we hardly know these people, really. It isn't as though they were old and close friends. If we'd driven through their town, would you even have dreamed of dropping in unexpectedly, staying for dinner, washing our clothes, staying overnight?
No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't have called them at all for the simple reason. I don't even know where they live, do you?
Wisconsin.
Oh,
I
is
think.
It? Is it Wisconsin?
That's where the Klinger Nuts and Bolts Company is.
Well, anyhow, they did come. We were gracious. Now, just let's continue to be so. Hmm?
Oh, sure.
Probably
sure.
Never even see them again, except at some convention. Honey, don't just stand there. Move. Brush your teeth now. Get dressed and get to the market.
My golly. 3:30 in the morning.
Hurry up now so I can have breakfast ready when they get downstairs. Now, let's just try to be as hospitable as we can.
The man at the market said he did not have any unrefined brown sugar.
Oh, Bill will just have to eat his oatmeal without it then today.
Where are they?
Oh, they're not down yet.
Well, it's 4:10. I thought they wanted to leave right on the dot of 4:30.
I know. I heard their alarm go off about 4:10, but I haven't heard a sound.
Well, maybe you ought to go up and knock on the door, huh?
No, I think they're tiptoeing around so they don't wake us.
Well, they must have heard you down here in the kitchen.
No, you know, with the guest room on the other side, you don't hear much from down here.
Well, surely they heard me drive out and then back home again.
Honey, I don't know. They haven't come down yet anyhow. Now, you want some coffee while we're waiting?
Oh, yeah, thanks. Are you using the good dishes and silver again for breakfast?
Well, it looks nicer, you know, since we're in the dining room. I picked some roses, too, for centerpiece.
It looks very pretty, honey. Mm. Well, they're not going to get started by 4:30. Mm. I love the way we're up at this hour, yep. And they're probably still asleep.
Well, just have your coffee, and we'll just wait until they come down. Oh, honey. Do you
Bell.
Think we should wake them?
Phyllis? Bill?
Yes?
I thought you ought to know it's 6:30.
6:30?
That's right. I mean, it doesn't matter to us, but you're the one who said you wanted to get going at 4:30.
Oh, okay. Oh, good morning, Phyllis. We're sorry to wake you, but, you know, we didn't know what to do.
No, that's fine. Oh, what time is it?
It is. It's 6:30. What did you do, Phyllis? Just turn off the alarm and go back to sleep?
Oh, I don't know. I must have turned it off in my sleep.
Well, anyhow, you two, breakfast is ready whenever you want to come down.
Oh, fine. Oh, fine. Oh, you two didn't get up at 4, did you?
Well,
good. Oh, we'll get right up.
I told you to put the alarm on my side of the bed.
Oh, dear, now I suppose they'll have a fight about that.
Well, I'm going in and shower and shave.
All right, dear. Now?
Well, why not now? I got to go to work today, remember?
I know, but if they both take a shower, well, you know, our water pressure, if two showers are going at once...
Okay, all right. I've got to get dressed for work anyhow.
I might as well, too. As soon as they leave, I've got to rush madly to get my housework done. We're having a special women's club meeting at 9:30. Well, first, I better go reheat their oatmeal and put on some fresh water for the tea.
Now, listen.
What?
When we say goodbye to them, don't prolong it and don't start making lavish plans to meet again and all that,
all right? All right.
Well, bye-bye.
Bye, boy.
Bye.
I just can't tell you what a marvelous time we've had.
Are you sure you got everything, Phyllis? I think you'd better go in the house and take a look around. You know, she always leaves something.
Yeah, they all do, don't they?
If she has, I can always mail it on. But we do hate to see you go if you just had an extra day to spend with them.
Now, honey, they've got their trip all planned.
Oh, goodness, I just hate to leave.
Well, we just hate to have you leave.
Oh, now, come on, Phyllis, get in the car.
Oh, he's always rushing me.
Well, I guess that's the way every trip goes, rushing and rushing. Everything goes so fast, and then suddenly you're home again.
Oh, that's true.
Well, it just seemed like home here. You made us so welcome.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, we've just loved having you, my goodness, and we just hate to have you rushing off.
What are we rushing off for? You know, Bill, we don't have to be someplace else in any special hurry.
Now, honey, we've got the trip all mapped out. You want to spend 3 days in New York, 2 days in Washington, then on down to Williamsburg for 2 days. I spent a lot of time figuring how we can sandwich in all those places.
Well, I'm not going to enjoy any of those places if I'm too worn out when we get there.
Oh, we've been to Williamsburg. You'll love it. Won't it, dear?
Uh-huh.
Well,
uh-huh.
We've been to New York before. Maybe we can cut out one of those days.
Oh, come on, Phyllis. We've got a schedule. I planned it.
I know, and I'd like some say in the planning. Now, there's no reason why we can't stay here another day. Just skip one in New York.
Oh, Phyllis, we've imposed enough on these good folks.
Oh, no. My goodness. It's not been any imposition, has it, dear?
No, certainly. It's been great having you.
Oh, it has. Now, darling, just admit it. We do not have to rush off.
Well, no, I guess not. What did I tell you? This little rascal can talk me into anything.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll stay another day.
You're sure you want us? You're positive?
Oh, yes. Yes, I should say. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it, dear? It's no trouble for us. Well, you're all packed up now.
No trouble. Bill, just take out our overnight bags. That's all we'll need. Oh, and my dress bag, because we're going to take you out to dinner tonight. Right, Bill?
You betcha, baby. Isn't she a little dickens?
Oh, isn't she?
Yes, she is. Well, listen, I'm glad she changed your mind. So, come on back in the house.
Well, we'll be right in. I just want to show Bill what to bring back in.
Well, I'll put the water on so you can have another cup of tea, and then we'll plan what to do today. It'll be fun. It's wonderful you're staying. Well, don't look at me.
What are you going to do with them today?
I have the slightest idea.
Well, I got to get to work.
Now, look, you stay in the kitchen and you keep them company for at least 10 minutes. Put the tea kettle on and keep talking to them.
Where are you going?
I'm going upstairs and remake their beds. I'd already stripped them and put their sheets in the washing machine.
Oh, boy. We never learned.
The following is a paid dramatization.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. But then I learned about new Daytrol. I compared labels. Daytrol has no aspirin either. Both have the same pain reliever, same effectiveness. But compare prices. Daytrol can cost less. So shop for the best prices and save money.
Daytrol, new from Bristol-Myers. The Little Things in Life has been brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
And that brings us to the end of the line for this week's program. Next week, a new host, a new program, and you'll enjoy it, I promise you. My thanks to Daniel, as usual, for making it sound passable here tonight. And for you, for being here to keep me company. And I hope you had as much fun with this as I did. We'll be back in a few weeks, fair warning. In the meantime, as we always say, and you know it, we stand up, we face the east, the big radio in the east, looking at green eye tuner, and it's always good listening, good luck, good night, and goodbye.
I love to listen to my radio. See how it thrills me when I hear it go. Someday you'll hear it soon.